One of the things that we're going to see is that Russia is a key player in end times. Now, people ask, where is America in prophecy? And the Bible don't say a lot about America as far as being in prophecy. So, you know, it seems like at some point America is kind of going to fall off the chart here and not be the world influencer that it is. But we do see that Russia will play a key part in end times. Okay, so in this study, we will see that Russia plays a key role in end time Bible prophecy.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry to William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the conclusion of the War of Gog and Magog. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the War of Gog and Magog.
When they attack and they go down into Israel, and again, you know, I got some theories as to when this is going to happen, and hopefully I'll be able to share with you at the end. What do Russians want from Israel? Israel is one of the richest nations over there in oil, in natural gas. And Russia, one of its main money-making resources is gas, is oil. They supply 30 to 40% of all the oil in Europe. So who is a threat to Russia as far as the oil was concerned? Israel. So Russia will want to attack Israel if for no other reason to occupy the land and the gas that's there. And, you know, I had the opportunity to go to Israel several years ago, and we were able to look up into the Golan Heights. And the Golan Heights is a part of Israel. But did you notice something that that Putin said about a week or so ago? I don't know if you heard him say this. He said he no longer recognizes Israel as the possessor of the Golan Heights. He recognizes Syria as the possessor. Now, the Golan Heights, that's in Israel. But what did Putin say? Putin said that we no longer recognize Israel as the possessor of the Golan Heights. We recognize what? Syria. Why would he recognize Syria? So I'm going back to my map now. Why would he recognize Syria, right? Because, you know, as you look at Syria being a part of, you know, and that's right there, right below Turkey, right? Syria is right below Turkey. And why would he do that? He did that because he know that that's probably going to be a part of the group that joins him. Now, again, I don't know that that Putin understands this prophecy in Ezekiel 38 and 39, you know, so I don't know that. But in his desire probably to take over more landmass in that area, you know, that's why he would recognize Syria as the owner of the Golan Heights, as a possessor, and not Israel, because, you know, they will eventually be a part of that collaborative. Now, look at the Muslims. Muslims believe Allah has called them to destroy Israel. And when they do, it will usher in the end times. The Imam will come and Jesus will show up and Jesus will say that he's Muslim, right? That's Muslim doctrine. That's what Muslims believe. So when we look at Ezekiel 38 and 39, and we see the two groups that are going to invade Israel, here's the reason why. You know, the Russians will probably do it because of the land mass and the value of the land. The Muslims are going to do it simply because what? They hate Israel, right? That's why they're going to do it. So notice, I mean, Ezekiel prophesied this, wow, 2,700 years ago, that the Russians and Muslims would come together and attack Israel. And I'm sure that he didn't know all that he was prophesying. He just was saying what God told him to say. Saints, this is the power of the word of God. This is the power of the word of God. That's why I believe that the Bible is God's word. Because of stuff like this, you can't make this stuff up. You can't make it up. And so Ezekiel prophesies that the Russians and Muslim countries will come together for different reasons. They'll come together for different reasons, but they'll come together for one purpose, and that is to destroy Israel. So that's why we see this alliance. And, you know, as we see events unfolding today, this is not necessarily the war of Gog and Magog, but it's setting the stage for it, right? I mean, all the chips are falling into place. I can stay on this for a long. Let me move on. Okay. Now, even Iran. Now, notice who was one of the countries? Persia, which is Iran. Some interesting things about Iran, that they are enriching their uranium, which is needed to make nuclear weapons, uranium. They now have a missile that they can launch from Iran that will reach Israel. And this is interesting. If you go online, you probably can find this. Somebody took a picture of a missile that they have with Israel's name on the side. Think about that. They have a nuclear missile with Israel's name on it. All right. And who has helped Iran with their nuclear program? Russia. Saints, you can't make this stuff up. You see how all of it is just coming together for end times. Again, I'm not saying that it's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next year. I'm just saying, and I want you to understand what I'm saying, that everything is lining up as the scripture says. Everything is being put in the place as the scripture says. All right. Now, notice as we go through Ezekiel 38 and 39, and I'm going to do this very quickly, and then we'll wrap things up. Now, notice for this to happen, Israel had to be back in the land and dwelling safely and prosperity. Notice this. Their land will be healed from war, verse 8. Ezekiel 38:8. The land which was desolate, all those years, all the years that land lied desolate, nobody wanted it until the Jews began to come back. And in 1948, they became a nation again. You can't make this stuff up. That Ezekiel said that Israel will be back in the land and they will be dwelling in safety and prosperity. That could have never happened until 1948. The people that had been scattered were now brought back to the land. That couldn't have happened until 1948. The people are living in safety. Ezekiel 38, 8 and 11. Notice this. Notice the peace. Israel will be a country without walls. And what is, when a country is without walls, what does that mean? In the Old Testament, when they established the city, what was the first thing they did? They built wall. They built a wall around it. Israel will be a country without walls. They will be established back in the land again. And notice that even on the gates, there will be no locks. And so what does this symbolize? You know, Ezekiel 38, 8 through 11 symbolizes the fact that Israel will be dwelling in safety and in prosperity. Right. And again, that couldn't have happened. That Ezekiel writing 2,700 years ago, How did he know this? How did Ezekiel know that this was going to happen? That's on this PowerPoint slide. The only way he could have known was that God told him. So in order for this invasion to take place, Israel must be back in the land, dwelling in safety and in prosperity. Now, why will Russia and these Muslim nations invade Israel? Three reasons. According to Ezekiel 38:8, to acquire the land. They want the land, all right? According to Ezekiel 38:12, they want the wealth, right? You know, and before the Jewish people came back and began to settle the land, Israel was a wasteland. It was a wasteland. And they came back and began to develop it again. And it's a wealthy and it's a prosperous land now. So why will Russia and these Muslim countries want this land? To acquire the land, to take the wealth, and to kill the Jews. Okay, Ezekiel made it clear. Ezekiel 38 and verse 10, Ezekiel 38, 16 is to kill the Jews. So these are three reasons why the Confederacy will invade the land of Israel. Now, oh man, this is deep right here. Now this is really deep. It says that there will be nations that will look on at this invasion. Ezekiel 28:13, that while this invasion is taking place, when Russia and these Muslim nations are coming against Israel, it says that there will be nations that will look on. Ezekiel 28:13. It says, Sheba, Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish with all its young lions will watch the attack. So just think about Russia and Ukraine today. This is a war between Russia and Ukraine. And what does everybody else do? They're just watching, right? They're just looking at it. And so I think that, you know, this kind of gives us an indication as to when these nations attack Israel, you know, people will watch on. Now, who was Sheba and Dedan? Many people believe that that's Saudi Arabia. But now, this is interesting. You remember Jonah? And when God called him to go to Nineveh, where did he get on a boat going to? Tarshish. And Tarshish was what? It was west of Israel. Tarshish. And notice this, Tarshish with all his young lions. And so many people believe that Tarshish was, you know, in the area of Spain or England. Okay, so just go along with me for a minute, right? Tarshish, just say that that's Spain and England. With all his young lions, what are young lions? Young lions are baby lions that have been birthed out of what? Out of a mother lion. Who did England give birth to? Who did England give birth to? United States, right? Right? America, right? All this, England, Tarshish, England, Spain, with all this young lions, right? So during this time when Russia is invading, what is America doing? You know, if we interpret it this way, let me say this, that there are probably going to be some that don't agree with this, all right? Some people will not agree with this. So all I'm asking you is, I studied it. So I'm going to ask you, if you don't agree with it, just go study it, right? That's all I'm saying, just go study it. But as I study, this Tarshish with all his young lions, again, Tarshish being Spain or England, and then the nations that they gave birth to, right? And one of them is the United States. So the United States will just look on as this invasion takes place. Ezekiel 28 and verse 13. We see God will destroy the Confederacy, that as they come against Israel, you know, just think how powerful, you got all these nations coming from the north, the South, the East, the West. You got all these nations coming against little old Israel. Now, you know, you think about, what was it, the Six-Day War, when you had all these nations or these nations that came against Israel, and they had these advanced weapons, and they should have wiped Israel right off the map. They should have wiped them right out. But the Six-Day War lasted 6 days, and Israel fought them off, right? Why? Who was with Israel? You know, God. Now, I'm gonna say this, that Israel hasn't always done everything that's right. I agree with that. You know, no question about that. You know, some people argue, well, you know, Israel, they got their share of issues, and I agree with that. All I'm saying is, in the big scheme of things, that God has a plan for Israel, and, you know, his plan will come to pass. So as these nations invade Israel, we see that God will destroy this confederacy. How will he do it? Three things, it says in Ezekiel 38:21, that he will cause the soldiers to turn on each other. Now, you know, again, this is in my sanctified imagination, right? So I'm not saying this as a fact. I'm just throwing this out as a possibility. You know, what if all these Muslim nations, you know, don't agree with something that Russia does, and then they turn against the Russians, and then they start fighting among themselves? All right, I'm just throwing that out. But the scripture does say that the soldiers will attack each other. That's one way that God will destroy this confederacy. Another way is that God will bring disease and death upon them. That you know, he's going to allow plagues to break out. Now, all we got to do is look at the pandemic that we're in, right? The disease, and see how it can ravage nations. And so God is going to allow disease and death to come upon this Russian-led army. And then the ones that are left, it says that God will send hailstones, fire, and sulfur on them. And so that, you know, God will destroy this confederacy as they come against Israel in three ways. He will cause them to turn against each other. He will bring disease and death, and he will send hailstones, fire, and sulfur among them. And that will destroy the army. Now, look at some of the aftermath of this destruction. It will take 7 years for Israel to destroy the enemy's weapons. Ezekiel 39:10-9-10. That when they get rid of the enemy's weapons, it's going to take them 7 years to destroy the invader's weapons. Secondly, it's going to take 7 months to bury the dead from these armies. 7 months it's going to take. That when these armies are destroyed by attacking each other, disease, hailstone, fire, and sulfur, and Israel begins to get rid of the bodies, it's going to take them 7 months to bury the dead in these armies. And then the third thing, it says that the birds of the air and the beasts of the field will be called to eat the flesh of the armies of God. So as their bodies are lying there rotting, as the people from Israel are burying them, that the birds will eat their flesh, and the animals, you know, will devour them. All right. So God is going to destroy this Russian-led confederacy. Okay. And then let me close with this. God will be glorified, and Israel will be regathered. In Ezekiel 39:21-24, the other nations will see God, and they will respect him. They will know that he is the God of Israel, and they will know why Israel was killed and carried away as prisoners to other countries, that God will reveal that. And then Ezekiel closes out this prophecy saying that Israel will be regathered. God will show his love for them, and the people will forget their shame. They will live in the land in safety without fear. Israel will be gathered back from all other countries. They will know that the Lord is their God, and God will pour his spirit upon the people, and they will never turn away from him again. All right. Now that's the prophecy in Ezekiel 38 and 39. When is this going to take? When is this war going to take place? There's actually five views. I don't want to get bogged down in the interpretation. I'll say that I believe it's this is going to take place during the first half of the tribulation, because Israel will be regathered to the land. They will be living in peace. They will have their guard down due to a covenant that they established with the Antichrist. And so this will be a perfect time for the Russians to lead an invasion into Israel. So again, this is in your notes, but I would just target that one right there and say that, that's the one that, as far as timing, when this battle is going to take place, I believe it's going to take place somewhere during the first half of the tribulation. Okay. Now, I just thought I'd throw this in for interest sake. So some of you probably will blast me on this, and that's okay. But I just, as I was studying, you know, I came up with people saying, well, why does Putin want to take Ukraine over? And I kept running into, you know, reasons why he wanted to take Ukraine over. Somebody said Putin is 70 years old and wants to leave a legacy. That's why, you know, his time is running out. He wants to leave his legacy. He wants to assemble the former Soviet Union. You know, those countries, Ukraine and all those other countries, they used to be a part of Russia, right? And somebody said he's trying to restore Russia back to its former state. The natural resources, the minerals, the rich land, you know, even all the richness that's in the Ukraine right now, you know, that he wants to take it over. There's a pipeline going through Europe, which 40% of all oil sales go to Russia. So, you know, he wants to control the pipeline and the finances. Now, somebody said this, that when America pulled out of Afghanistan, that he saw that the region became weakened. And then that's one reason why he stepped up his game, that he waited until America pulled out of Afghanistan. And that's why he launched this attack. And then somebody else said that he was concerned that NATO was moving close to his nation, the Western borders, and you know, he wants to, you know, head it off before it gets too far. So again, you can blast me on this right here. You know, a lot of people will say, "Oh, Pastor, why you put that up there?" I just thought it was interesting as I was researching reasons why Putin wanted to take over Ukraine. All right. I'm done. Let's see if we have any questions. I got about 10 minutes for questions. And if we have a lot, then you know, we may have to continue next week. All right. Okay. All right. Thoughts. Interested in your thoughts.
Yes. One thing here, Lamar. Talking about animals, birds of prey eating the dead bodies, it was reported that that's already happening. Dogs are eating the dead. The people don't have a chance to go out to bury them because they're being bombed.
Wow.
In Ukraine. So that's already happening.
So we can see how that can happen, you know, even into the future.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Russia in the End Bible Prophecy. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The War of Gog and Magog, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org/GogandMagog. That's anchoredinjesus.org, and request The War of Gog and Magog from our Bible Prophecy series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.